Like to read a passage from the book of Genesis and chapter 3. Book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And the serpent was more crafty than any animal of the field which Jehovah Elohim had made. And it said to the woman, "Is it even so that God has said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, and ye shall not touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not certainly die, but God knows that in the day ye eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a pleasure for the eyes, and the tree was to be desired to give intelligence. And she took of its fruit and ate, and gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. I wanted to just focus on one little section of this passage here that we're very familiar with. The account of the first sin coming in to the human race. I wanted to focus in verse 1, the snake, the serpent, says to the woman, "Is it even so that God has said?" I was reading an article recently, that apparently we're living in a post-truth society, whatever that's supposed to mean. But I think we can see around us the effects of what that made-up expression might mean, in that the standards of today are not necessarily the standards of tomorrow. And what is right today may be wrong tomorrow, and what is wrong today may be right tomorrow. We live in a constantly changing and evolving society where standards seem to be generally downhill, but the main thing is that they are definitely changing. And I think the important thing when it comes to the gospel is that there are, if you like, two very important people, I suppose, if I can say that, involved tonight in the battle with your soul. You have on the one hand God, who has given his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be secured for blessing. And on the other side, you have the enemy, the devil, who's also very interested in your soul tonight and will do anything in his power to make sure that this message of salvation is ignored, is put on the back burner, is put for something to be done in the future, or to be blocked out entirely. You see, the message of the world today is very similar to what the serpent said here. Is it even so that God has said? What God has said in the Bible, and what God has said in his word, and what the Lord Jesus has said, and what his apostles have written in the New Testament as inspired by the Holy Spirit himself have said, is being ignored and is being downtrodden by the world's standards. The definitions of things like sin changes every day. And the enemy would have you believe, dear friend, tonight, that sin and the sin that you have in your life isn't that bad at all. The devil would have you believe tonight that there isn't a hell, there isn't a heaven, there's nothing after this present scene that we find ourselves in. It's just nothingness. The devil might even try and get you to believe, in fact, that there is, in fact, no God at all. And you are your own master. And you can do whatever you like down here, those in the Bible said, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. People want to live in the present. People want to live for today and never mind about the future. But the gospel, dear friend, is a gospel that is a gospel of truth. A gospel of facts. A gospel that where it doesn't matter how many people say that something might be right or wrong. It's irrelevant. What I want to talk to you tonight about is what God has said, and what God has said about sin, and what God has said about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what God has said about eternity, because those are the things that matter. It doesn't matter if every single person in this room tonight tells me that this desk has been painted blue. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that actually that is wrong. We live, as that article said, apparently in a day of post-truth, where there is no absolute truth. But the gospel, dear friend, is a gospel concerning the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ, the very personification, if you like, of truth itself. And dear friend, tonight, it is that gospel that I want to present to you about what God has said about your sin, about what God has said about your soul, and what God has said about your eternal salvation, or if you choose to reject the gospel tonight, your eternal judgment as found in that awful place that the Bible describes on many occasions, that the devil would do anything in his power to make you believe that doesn't exist, the place reserved for the devil and his angels, a place called hell. But the main focus, dear friend, of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that this gospel centers around. He's the very center of God's thoughts. He's the one that God has set forth as a mercy seat. He's the one that is able to be preached tonight as a savior of sinners, that no matter who you are, what you've done, what you've said, you're able to come tonight in repentance and faith and have the assurance of knowing that your sins have been washed away forever. Dear friend, that is the message of the gospel tonight. And I want you, sitting in your seat here, to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior. So we have this little passage here in Genesis 3. The serpent here trying to make people doubt what God has said about the tree. Is it even so that God has said? And I think we need to start going through the Bible with what God has said about sin. Sin is perhaps the word that is, well, it's used very often from this desk. We hear about that three-letter word probably every week from preachers that stand behind this desk. And it perhaps almost becomes hard to conceptualize, if you like, what sin actually is. But the Bible's very clear when it comes to sin. The Bible, on nearly every occasion, is very blunt. It's very straightforward. It's very black and white. And the Bible is very clear, again, when it comes to what sin is. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that every single person in this room tonight comes under that unfortunate banner of being called a sinner. That means that throughout your life you've done and said and thought and all sorts of other things that are wrong. Now, in a society where truth is not something that is absolute, it's very easy for people to go, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else, or I'm better than somebody else. But as I said at the beginning, it's important that you come back and look at God's standard. It says we've fallen short of God's glory, God's standard. And that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can compare yourself to whoever you like, and you can probably find people in the news, on TV, in the newspapers, on the radio. You hear about people all the time that you can probably and honestly say that you live a more moral and upstanding life than they do. But it really doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, we've all fallen short of God's standard. Because God's standard, God's perfect standard, was found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about him this afternoon, and I think this afternoon we were all struck with the absolute perfection and the absolute, I can't even begin to describe it. Just the perfection that was found in the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked down here in dependence on his God, as he walked down here amongst men, perfect in every single way. That's the standard. God demands perfection. And if you're honest with yourself, dear friend, and if you're honest with your heart tonight, you find that you do not come anywhere close to God's standard as found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with our hearts. Jeremiah says, doesn't he, that the heart is desperately wicked. Again, we can look around at other people and think that our hearts may be better. But at the end of the day, when you compare yourself with what God has set forth in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves falling far short of where God demands us to be. And dear friend, God has said very clearly, after an honest examination of our heart, we find that there is sin. Well, what is the effect of sin? Well, the effect of sin in Genesis here was that Adam and Eve eventually had to leave the garden. Isaiah says that our iniquities have separated us from God. That means our sin, the things that we've done wrong, have separated us from God. There is a divide that has come in because God is a holy and a righteous God, cannot have anything to do with a sinful creature such as me and such as you. A divide has come in. And we can't enter into all the blessings that God would have us come into. We can't enter into heaven. We can't come into God's presence while we're still sinners. But do you know what? The amazing message of the gospel is that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in all your sin with that great burden and find that he is able to set you free because of what he did on that cross at Calvary. There's a wonderful blessing that's involved in the gospel in that you and me and whoever, that's the wonderful message, isn't it, of the gospel, is whosoever is able to come tonight and find in the Lord Jesus Christ a Saviour who is able for all the things that they've done wrong and said wrong and thought wrong. It can all be washed away. All be washed away completely, permanently, and to God's eternal satisfaction because of that wonderful sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made on that cross at Calvary. That's, if you like, the centerpiece of the gospel. That's, if you like, the very centerpiece of, we spoke this afternoon about time itself. The cross and the resurrection stands there in the center. That sacrifice that was made on that cross allowed God to move out tonight in righteous blessing so that you can come into the most wonderful blessing and to know your sins forgiven, to have peace in your heart and to have a hope in your heart that you will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ one day face to face. But in the waiting time down here, you can know him as your Saviour, your Shepherd, your Friend and your Lord. It's all because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on that cross at Calvary. So the effect of sin is that a divide has come in, a separation has come in between us and God. But what is God's view on this whole thing? God, as I said, hasn't just left us there. God hasn't seen our, we have a hymn, don't we? God has looked on our helpless estate, if you like. We have a hymn that says a line like that. And that basically means God hasn't just looked at us in our lost, helpless condition and given up. The whole plan of salvation involved that God would send forth his Son so that he would be able to bring us into blessing. He would send forth the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who was able to make that connection, that link, if you like, between lost man and a Saviour God. He was the one that is able to come in and to remove that gap entirely so that we can come into a relationship with God himself. And that's the message of the gospel. You who were once afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, tonight, no matter how far away you may have wandered, no matter how far away you may have gone, no matter what you've done or said, the message of the gospel is that whosoever will is able to come and have that wonderful, eternal blessing of knowing that sins have been forgiven and that you have a home secured for you in heaven. Another thing that the world gets very wrong about Christianity, in fact, is the world has a very strange view of God himself. Some people think God is this far off entity, if you like, that's really indifferent to us down here. Some people think that God is not all-powerful, not in charge of things anymore. But if you go back to what the scripture says, the scripture's again very clear on who God is, what his nature is, and we find in the Bible time and time again that God is love. God is a God who loves you. God is a God who has given everything to secure you. God is a God who is very interested in each and every soul in this room tonight. You know, we sometimes go through life and, you know, certainly at my place of work, you know, when I'm talking about to my senior management team about the children, it's very easy for children just to become pieces of data and numbers and, you know, who's met the expectation and who's not. But God is not interested in numbers and data. God is interested in individual souls. God is interested in you tonight. God is interested in you as a person. And God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son so that you can come into blessing. You know, think about that. That God, the very creator of this universe, loved you so much that he sent his son so that you could come into blessing. And what's your response tonight, friend, to that wondrous outpouring of love and grace? Walking out of this room tonight knowing that despite all that, despite that wondrous show of grace and love, you're still going to reject God's offer of salvation. Or, dear friend, are you going to sit here in your seat tonight and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's what God would desire. God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. All in this room tonight have the opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you go to the Bible, and as I said, you find that God is love. God is a God who's righteous and holy. Of course he is. The reason that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go the way of the cross is because God had to have a righteous basis. God had to have a right basis. God had to do things the right way in order to bring you into blessing. And the Lord Jesus Christ did that in its entirety, so that nothing could be brought up against you again. It's a watertight salvation, if you like. There's no small print, there's no loose ends to pick at. Dear friend, tonight, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can know that you are safe for time and eternity. We read a few weeks ago, didn't we, in John, about how you're held in the Lord's hands and in the Father's hands as well. That total security of knowing if you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will never, ever be let go. But you know, dear friend, the world has a very strange view of God. We're at home, we're reading the book of Acts. And I don't know why, but for some reason, Kezie asked one of the days if we could read the last chapter of Job, just so that she could read her name in the last passage. I don't know why. But it was really interesting. At the end of Job, God is angry with Job's friends because they didn't represent God in the right way. And dear friend, tonight you look around and people have all sorts of opinions about who God is. But let me tell you, dear friend, in the Bible, what the Bible says, God is a God who loves you. God is a God who has given everything so that you can come into blessing. God, it says in Romans, doesn't it? God commends his love to us. God has demonstrated his love to us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, you can't get away in the gospel from having Christ at the center. It's all dependent on him and his finished work. That sacrifice that was made on that cross, that's the foundation. That's the basis as to why I can stand here tonight. That's the basis of why I know many in this room tonight, despite all the things that are going on in the world, all the ups and downs that we go through in life, that there is one thing secure, that we know that we have been covered by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing can take that away. That's beyond this entire scene entirely. You have the absolute security of knowing that you are saved and saved forever. You know, again, you look in the Bible and you look at what the world says, and they come to two very different conclusions about who Jesus was. In fact, Jesus even asked that question to his disciples. He says, "Who do men say that I am?" And the same question could be asked tonight, and you'll get many different answers. People will say he was a great philosopher. He was a great teacher, a great preacher. You know, Peter answers that question, doesn't he? You are the Son of the living God. And you know, that's the essence of the gospel, is that Jesus Christ came here on, sent by God himself, God's Son. God, we said in the reading this afternoon, God could give nothing else, nothing greater than giving his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can come into blessing. God has set forth a mercy seat. God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood. You know, what a basis we have, and what a basis you can have tonight, dear friend. That sure and firm foundation. God said in the Old Testament, when I see the blood, I will pass over. And on that cross, when that blood was spilt, God saw that blood. And that blood is effective as it was then as it is now. And dear friend, tonight I can give you a guarantee, but more importantly, God personally can give you a guarantee that if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be washed in the blood. There's that old hymn, isn't there? Are you washed in the blood? And dear friend, it's a question you need to answer tonight. Nobody else can answer that question for you. It's a question you need to answer. Are you washed in the blood? One of the other things that God says about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says that he's the only way to salvation. Again, you look around in the world, the enemy will be very good at, in essence, saying that all roads lead to Rome. That it doesn't matter who or what you believe, as long as you believe something, as long as you're sincere in your belief, doesn't really matter what you believe, you'll get there eventually. Well, again, dear friend, you go to the Bible. You go to what God said. And God said, there is no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Dear friend, there's no other way to find blessing. There's no other way to God's presence. There's no other way to having your sins forgiven. There's no other way to having that peace and security. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is it. Full stop. There's nothing else. As we said, God couldn't give anything more costly or more higher value than his beloved Son. But he has given his Son. I was, the other day, when I used to work up in 5 and 6, sent out some homework, some long division homework, which is about as difficult as maths as you can do in primary school. And came back in the next day, and one of the children in my class said that they'd spent hours and hours on it. They said, I've worked really hard on this. I think they were after some extra playtime or something. They'd worked hours and hours on it at home. And I looked through it, and the first one was wrong, and the next one was wrong, and the next one was wrong. And I looked at the whole sheet, and every single question was wrong, because they hadn't used the right method. And it doesn't matter how hard you've worked or how sincere you are, you won't get the right answer unless you do it the way that God has set out in his word. It doesn't matter. The mind of man can be a very amazing thing. We can come up with some fantastic progress in technology and all sorts of things. But you know, dear friend, the mind of God has designed the only way to come into blessing. And that is through the repentance and faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. Repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And dear friend, tonight, the person, the man on offer in the gospel, the man who is standing here, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's concerning him. It's all about him. He's the one that has done everything to God's eternal satisfaction. He's the one tonight that can be your Savior. And dear friend, tonight, he desires to be your Savior. He has been speaking to you perhaps for many, many years. And dear friend, tonight, he wants you to be part of that great company, that great answer of those that have also been bought by his precious blood, that will be with him as we spoke about it again this morning, he will lead the praise eternally to his God and Father. What a wonderful prospect a Christian has. What a wonderful thing we have to look forward to, in that we will one day be with our Savior face to face for eternity. We spoke this afternoon about how hard eternity is to sort of comprehend. And yet what a wonderful thing it is to contemplate that one day we will be with him face to face. And yet, dear friend, we're not just left down here. The moment that we're saved, it's not just that's it. We find that the Lord Jesus is a shepherd. We find that the Lord Jesus is a friend. We find that the Lord Jesus is a guide. We find not only that, but God has given his Holy Spirit himself to dwell inside of each and every believer so that they are empowered, so that they are given the power to live down here for God, to do what God would have us, me, you to do. What a wonderful thing it is. And then finally, the great hope of a believer is that one day we will see, we will hear that great shout, and we will be caught up together, those that are living, those that are dead, to be with him forever. What a wonderful prospect it is. And dear friend, tonight again, it all comes back down to that wonderful sacrifice on that cross and the resurrection that followed 3 days later. So dear friends, it's almost like there's two separate lines going on. The world will carry on changing the standards. The world will carry on redefining sin. What is, as I said, what was wrong yesterday will be right tomorrow. And yet we can find the sure foundation of the unchanging Word of God and the unchanging gospel message. The same Saviour that was presented 2,000 years ago by the apostles, you can read about them in the Acts, is the same Saviour that is being presented tonight. And the same blessing that people came into 2,000 years ago is the same blessing that you can come into tonight. You can have your sins washed away. You can be set free and you can have that peace, that assurance, that burden lifted, and know that you are eternally saved. Saved for time, saved for eternity. And dear friend, tonight, I pray that you'll come to know the truth that has been laid out in the gospel. Ignore the different voices in the world that are telling you all sorts of different things, and listen to the small, quiet voice that the Lord Jesus may be speaking to your heart tonight, and saying, come home to me, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful thing it is, dear friend, if you will make that leap of faith tonight. If you in your heart tonight repent of your sin right now and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. I pray that you may do so tonight, if never before, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.